Hello, welcome everyone. We're Life with the Girlfriends, or More Life with
Girlfriends. And you can find us on, you know, bbsradio.com, Life with the Girlfriends, but we're all about right now, More Life with the Girlfriends.
Exactly. And we're your in-house certified love attraction coaches, mother, daughter. I'm the daughter.
Is that true? You're the
yes.
daughter. Sometimes, I don't know, I feel like I'm the daughter.
We talk about this. We switch roles constantly. And we know that you guys out there can hear it, and we hope it makes you feel like you're part of the family to hear us talk about our family.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And, you know, what we want to do with this show is that we're all about having fun and learning. But we want to,
right.
you know, we're mom's, you know, she got her master's degree, and she's a certified psychotherapist. She's a law of attraction coach. She's an intuitive, which is, she still has so many clients that ask for her intuitive counseling. I love it. I love it, girlfriend, how you're able to meld like a beautiful recipe.
That's what I really like to do. I mean, because my field, my background is psychotherapy, and you know, and that sort of you sort of work in history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as a coach, you work in the future, now and in the future, and then with my intuition work, I like to add that little bit of bazinga. You know, it's just a little bit of stuff. You know, and also I want to say that you, my wonderful daughter, are a teacher and an entrepreneur. You'd like to you're like the best coach I know.
Oh, thank you,
I have
girlfriend.
To go to you for coaching, girlfriend.
There you go. We coach each other, don't we? All the time. That's our relationship.
And we're authors. We've been authors for over a year now, and we're working on our second book. But our first book, The Clutterfly Effect, was an Amazon number one bestseller.
Yay.
And still going kind of strong, really.
Yeah.
And our second one's going to be A Clutterfly Effect, too. And it's going to be about, you know, I shouldn't give too much away, but
It's going to be a lot about, we're going to have in our show today, everyone, we're going to talk about some fun stuff, some girl stuff, some maybe hair stuff, and some dark stuff, and then we're going to talk about what we like to call our coaching segments or whatever, but they're a wisdom corner, let's say the least, and we're going to talk about resting and relaxing.
Right.
All
and
about
all the
receiving.
Benefits of that.
Yes. And our next book will be about that, how we can rest and relax so that we are able to receive more.
Right.
And how to also get rid of resistance by doing so and releasing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All those good R's.
Yeah, we'll be like pirates and we'll go,
I want to say one thing real quick about you. I want to tell a funny story. You know, lately you've been working, you have a friend that you guys do a lot of intuitive, spiritual work together. You have for decades. And she does work on death and dying, you know, conscious dying.
Right.
And it's interesting because in the last 3 or 4 years, your intuitive work has turned into kind of, you know, the other side a little bit.
Right, right.
And she asks you for assistance once in a while to kind of help on the other side. And so your intuitive side reaches all planes of existence.
That's right. It's multidimensional.
There you go. I don't know if you prefer that because you don't really do it with your clients.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, I don't know, but I do it for my friend.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you want to learn more about us, you can go to bbsradio.com/lifewiththegirlfriends. You can also go to theclutterflyeffect.com.
That's the name of our book.
For Christine, The Practical Intuitive.
Oh, yeah,
and
guys.
You can always reach us and ask us questions at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com. And so we want to just go in right in there, and we want to talk, you know, I first want to share a funny story.
Okay.
I hope you're okay with this, Mom.
Are you throwing me for a loop here?
I'm throwing you for a loop.
Good.
Because it just happened in the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'm getting ready for the show. I'm ready. I got my notes ready. I've got 4 glasses of water. I'm ready. And my eye is twitching.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what in the world? And this has been going on for several weeks. And my eye, and I swear it's not my eyelid, it's my eyeball.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, oh. So I've got a little bit of time, so I pull out my iPad, and I put in there on Bing. I go, why does? That's it. That's it.
And you were going to say, why does my eye twitch?
I was going to say, why does my eye twitch?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But in the second thing that came up, it said, why does my eye twitch?
What?
I know. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Because this happens to me all the time.
That's scary.
I put in one word.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last time this happened was 3 weeks ago when I said, you know, how come? And it was, the whole thing came up was, how come my tomato plants have yellow leaves?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to know. I mean, why is that happening?
Yeah, it's scary.
Now, I have to be, this is the funny part, okay, because I do think Bing is intuitive.
Right.
I don't know why. I feel my iPad's intuitive. And so that was the second choice. I'm embarrassed to say what the first choice was, but this is not intuitive. I say to you now, proclaim to the world, intuitive.
Wait, what was the, you thought you were telling me on Bing, it said, why does, and you said, my eye twitch, and that came up number 2.
Yes.
And so you're trying to tell me what number 1
yes,
is.
Do you want to take a guess? What do you think of the whole world? Why does something, what would
okay,
they want to
why
say?
Does, let's see, why does, that's a tough one. Why does, I don't know, Mr. Crabtree beat his student? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
That was not it. It was, why does my woohoo have an odor? And I'm like, oh, my
no,
God.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. And like, that is not intuitive one bit.
No.
That's just
did
making
it say
me...
hoo-hoo?
No, it did
hoo-ha?
Not. It said vajayjay, but the real word for vajayjay.
Oh, my gosh. But we're not allowed to say that on the radio,
I have
right?
no idea, but I'm choosing not to.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, it's slightly intuitive, but not nearly as intuitive as my... But not nearly as intuitive as my mom. So if I'm comparing you to Bing, my mother is much more intuitive to Bing.
That's right. Instead of Bing, it should say Christine Marie.
That's exactly right.
And then I can I'll do my work.
So as we talk about goofy, fun stuff on a Sunday night, we're also going to talk about have our wisdom corner. We're going to talk about a prosperity process. That kind of keeps in alignment.
You know, our Twitter, you can get us on Twitter at Prosperity. Is it Prosperity Duo?
Yes.
.com?
ProsperityDuo.com.
We love to talk prosperity. We just love it.
You said Twitter is just Prosperity Duo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So that's, not .com.
I'm not the whole social media girl.
I know. Well, you know, because for you, a social meant people getting together and talking.
Yes, normal, having a cocktail.
Yeah, let's get social.
Some hors d'oeuvres,
let's
getting
have fun.
Together, and let's chat, you know.
Yeah, no, social now means, saying a statement that's 120 characters or less, and bringing it out to the world.
Must have point of view.
Yes, exactly.
And so must have extreme point of view.
Yeah, really. Please. Now I just want to say, if you got
must
a point of view.
Must have desperate point of view.
Please like my point of view.
Yes.
Or don't like my point of view. Just do something. Acknowledge my existence, please, in this big old web.
Well, it's kind of funny, just you talking about this. I was reading in one of my psychological journals that they're debating, the American Psychology Association is debating on whether or not to make the overuse of selfies, a mental illness.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, because, some people just, that's all they do. And in fact, was it last week or something, I kind of had on the rerun of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. It was like probably 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And Kim was saying that they're on this vacation in Thailand or whatever, and she wanted to take 1,400 selfies while she was there.
I think you're over-exaggerating. It was 1,200.
Oh.
So it wasn't 14.
You
that's excessive. Yes, that's excessive. It was 1,200.
Yes.
And I loved it because she goes, you know, I'm a person of action.
click.
It is freaking me out because there's all these other things that are going on with a selfie, such as people are having plastic surgery so that their selfies look better.
Yeah.
And I was at the movie theater today seeing Guardians of the Galaxy. It was fun. It was an enjoyable time.
Was it?
Yeah, stay until the credits are all done.
Because there's some bloopers? Or?
Oh, no, there's no bloopers, unfortunately. That would have been hysterical. Mm-hmm. But there's like 20 seconds of a flash from the 80s, you know, just kind of an interesting little thing. And
well, I love that. Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt.
He's so darling.
Mm-hmm.
His star is on the rise.
Oh, for sure. Oh, aren't you just an industry?
Oh, yes. Well,
an industry know-it-all.
I'm an insider.
I know. Well, I was there at the theater, and what happened was during the commercials, which makes me go crazy to think I've got to spend a half an hour watching previews and commercials,
mm-hmm.
they were talking about this new phone, and it's perfect for selfies. They called it Selfie Corner or Selfie something, and
mm-hmm.
talking about how this new phone is perfect for selfies because you no longer have to be cumbersome, clumsy with pushing the button to make the photo take. All you got to do now is take your hand and make your hand open and close, and then the phone counts down to 3 seconds and takes your picture.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is an industry that I would never have dreamed of.
Yeah. 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Never would I have said we would be so, all of us would be all about taking pictures of ourselves.
Right.
And it would lead to plastic surgery and people looking weird and consumed with what that looks like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to ask you a question, you know, thinking about 5 years ago this didn't even exist, or maybe 10 years ago, but
mm-hmm.
knowing who you are and seeing the world as it is, you know, what business would you have gone into 5 years ago?
Other than the one I went into.
Right, other than the one you went into. Other than buying, you know, tech stocks.
Yeah, that would have been good, right?
That would have been good, right.
Well, you know, about 5 years ago or so, we interviewed, I can't think of her name. I can't think of the book that she wrote, but she was like a VP of a pretty big cosmetic company.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember her at all? I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, she had switched from doing that to she got in the hair business.
Oh.
And it was like, you know,
she made Merkin?
Wigs,
oh,
and
wig. Okay.
Extensions, mm-hmm. and those clip-ons, and all different colors. And she had a shop, but mostly she had this huge online presence, you know. And I know that she did really, 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 really well, you know. And I kind of think knowing now, when you can't turn on, a reality show, you know, Real Housewives or anything where, you know, the women's hair is just huge and
it's
down
crazy.
To their belly button.
And
like
no
Lady
one's
Godiva.
Hair looks like that in real life.
No.
No one's hair is that thick, that long. And you're right. I remember being in college and the extensions just started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I might get some extensions. And my friend goes, are you out of your mind? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy cow. And a friend of mine were talking about this back in the day before they became mainstream and every housewife. Okay, yes, we have reality TV as our you know, guilty pleasure.
Yes.
And we were like, you know, what do you do when you finally, you're dating somebody and you've got the fake nails and the push-up bra and the extensions
I
and
think
the contacts.
They may have a little bit more than a push-up bra. Honey.
Yeah, that's true. They may have the fake stuff.
They may have the things that, like, if you're laying flat, they're still there. And
yes.
They're a flotation device.
And so, like, what do you eventually do when you go, okay, here's what I really look like? You know, or here's what I really am, you know, or you got Spanx, you got to take Spanx off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, there's just this level that has turned into, you know, no longer is it just for mm-hmm. fun to put on a wig. And
oh, yeah. I mean, it was like a fun thing, too. I remember, like, in college, we had this, the dance where the girls asked the guys, we went sort of, I don't know, like, I think its theme was like dog patch, and so I put on a blonde wig, and it was so much fun.
Right.
You know, but now I just can't even imagine, especially in the summer, it's hot, it's 100 degrees, and you got like 10 pounds of hair on.
Well, it is weird, because right now there's like this cross. It's like you got this, I don't know, tug of war, where you get a lot of hair, or you go bald, you go shave it off. Save it all off. Mm-hmm. You know, either you're supporting somebody or you're like, forget this hair, this is my stand, all this stuff, I'm going anti-hair.
Well, I saw, I don't know if it was Pink or somebody, she had like one side shaved.
Yeah.
And the other, I mean, I kind of dug it. That I kind of dug. I don't know. I mean, but I obviously it's a look, and you've got to have the confidence for it, you know.
Right.
Or you would just end up looking kind of... Slutty?
Well,
I don't know.
Really. Well, I mean, what I don't know is that here you have, you know, the hair, and then you can't have hair anywhere else.
Absolutely.
And I don't
understand that. Really bugs me, is that you got to have 10 pounds of hair on your head, mm-hmm. but you're totally hairless.
Yeah.
Everywhere else. No.
I'm not doing that kind of shaving.
That's cray-cray.
I'm not paying that kind of money for waxing either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put aside some money and get that Tria or something. I don't know. You know, if I'm going to start a business, though, I'm going to start one right now. And it's going to be called, like, I don't know, truth glasses or something, so that people really see the inner light and beauty of everybody. the BS of the long hair.
Right,
the
right.
Shaved arms, the shaved everything, you know, the plastic surgery's all gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that stuff, it's like you get to see who we really are.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah, I know.
I guess I'm just tired of not feeling like I'm okay in this world. Well, the older I get, like, I have to...
I mean, sometimes I don't mind not shaving my legs, although I am pretty lucky because it's, you know...
It's embarrassing. You shouldn't even talk about it.
Yeah, I guess I really shouldn't.
You know, you're a natural redhead, and your hair looks like baby hair.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's a little embarrassing.
So I shouldn't complain, really.
No, you really shouldn't when you say, sometimes I don't even really want to shave my legs. Yeah, because you've tried it sometimes and it doesn't even come off because it's just so fine.
Exactly.
I'm like, whatever.
But I do, you know, I'd like to shave my arms sometimes.
I know, I don't do that. That's bizarre. Okay.
But there I'm cray-cray, right?
Well, I saw no-no, and they're right on camera. So people are just out there talking about it now, which I love. That's what I say about my... I think the truth is coming through in our culture in very weird ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like the no-no commercials. You know, I'll see a girl taking their no-no and just shaving her face.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then or shaving her arms.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yes, we don't come hairless.
No.
And then have to have a big, huge head of hair.
You could ask my great-grandmother from Sicily. She did not come hairless. No. She wore her little mustache proudly.
She's like, I earned every one of these whiskers. With every year I got another whisker, you know?
And I think, yeah, exactly. A little bit more than that. But
maybe
yeah.
A little bit more than that.
She kind of had like one of those, what I kind of thought was kind of sexy is like a... Like a 70s porn star mustache, you know?
Yeah. That she had one of those?
She kind of did.
No, she didn't.
But I didn't know it back then, you know?
Right.
But now, you know, I understand, you know, like, that's kind of, that's sort of my level of, you know, like, all these guys now, they manscape and...
I don't get that at all.
You got to put a man in front of everything, you know?
Yeah.
But, I kind of like my men. You know, I mean, like I sort of dug that 70s porn mustache and hair coming, you know, off your chest. And
right.
Yeah.
Just normal.
Yeah, kind of
like
looks testosterone-y.
Yeah, back in the day.
Absolutely.
Know? I get that. I understand that. I like the same thing, you know. I just, because I'm all about right now figuring out how to be more real.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to play this balance because when you're out in the world, you feel like you're doing a good job taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may come across someone from California or from 90210 area
yes.
zip code, and you're like, holy cow, I don't know what age you are. I really don't know what age you are. You could be a 50-year-old woman who's 30 or a 50-year-old woman who's 70. I don't know, because you look exactly like everybody else. And so you start getting paranoid about every wrinkle on your face.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how I think, too, though. Here we are in the Midwest, you know, salt of the earth. We eat potatoes. You know, I always think people in California, they only eat, like, avocados.
Right.
And all the girls, you know, just...
I'm sorry. I've tried to buy an avocado in Illinois.
Mm, can you?
Yeah, you can. I just don't think they're that great. But I do like guacamole.
Right. Well, I like the chips.
I like the chips with my guacamole and my sour cream and my cheese. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, remember, we were, I don't know where it was, but we had some a comedy tour come into Chicago area, and the one thing they were complaining and moaning and bitching about was that, I mean, there was, you know, here we are, city of great food, right? Deep dish pizza, great food. And they were complaining because they couldn't find kale anywhere.
Oh, that's right.
OMG. You're like,
now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Now I can't get away from it. But, yeah, it was so funny just complaining about where can I get a side dish of kale.
Right.
And thank God, as far as I've seen, the restaurants I've gone to, they have not put that on the menu.
Right.
However, it has gone into the grocery stores now.
Mm-hmm.
So kale and spinach are all part of the little NutriBullet, and the smoothies are all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're getting our veggies in. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, you're speaking. Oh my God, I'm trying to think if there was one. I don't know which housewife it was, but I remember like falling asleep because it was kind of boring. But I remember in the background she was saying, unless I was just dreaming this, and maybe somebody can tell me if I was dreaming, she was saying, you know, us California women, she goes, I've seen pictures of, and she's trying to figure out a state, she goes, Michigan women. And she goes, those Michigan women, they eat potatoes. We do not. We eat, and she said, I think she said avocados. I don't really know.
Okay.
And she goes, you can tell. You can just tell. That you're a Michigan. That's
whatever.
Right, and you can and we can tell that you're California because you drink 3 bottles of wine.
Exactly, and that's all you do.
Yeah.
Well, and it's and you know with my clients, I'm always about getting to the bigger and better truth of who we are.
Yes.
What we really want, how we can get there, but who we really are at our core, because you don't want to spend your life being at odds with who you are.
Or having to be, having fashion dictate or whatever is in fashion
right.
at the
exactly.
moment.
Exactly.
You know, dictate who you should be.
Right.
I mean, we encourage you to be strong in yourself.
Right.
And have good self-esteem whether you're hairy or not. You know?
And so we say, yes, be good. Have good self-esteem. And buy our book, The Color of Life Back.
That's what I want to really encourage people to do.
That's right. I encourage you to
tell me a little bit about that book, Jason. What is The Color of Life Effect exactly?
The Color of Life Effect is about how to tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Decluttering your life?
Yes.
And in all ways?
In all ways.
Like emotionally?
Physically.
Physically?
Environmentally.
and you know, what we found as coaches is that when you begin that process and you really start seeing what decluttering does, the best thing it does is it frees you up to get new stuff in your life.
Right. Exactly.
It's really about receiving, you know, and so that you can, and I'm kind of a sucker for a good Bible quote, but there is something about, like, every 7 years, you're, you know, getting rid of all your old stuff.
Well, talk about debt, as in, like, what you can, you're allowed to, they're in the Bible, it's about the debt of every 7 years, you get rid of it all. Just let it be forgiven, you know, and so forth. But at the end of every year, you're supposed to get rid of your harvest.
Yes.
But you have room
right.
for more.
More.
And
exactly.
And that's how it should be.
And that's how we have decided to go with more Life with the Girlfriends, because it is about decluttering so that you may have more.
Right.
Where can they get our book, Julie?
Amazon. Just go and put The Clutterfly Effect, and you can get it right there. And then I want you to email us, and when you get it, at talktous@christymarieandjulie.com, and we'll send you the free audio of us reading the book.
Yes. Is my, you know, of who I was wondering, is my favorite. See, I used to love Blake Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just, like, love him. And then he got too popular, too meh, you know. Now I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cool.
And I just have to say, does Benedict Cumberbatch, does he do the audio of our book?
No, he doesn't, Mom.
Oh, damn. Who does?
Us.
We do.
That's right. We
do. We
do. Exactly.
So, yeah, talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, and we'll send you the audio, which is, you know, we say it's free, but really it's priceless.
It is priceless.
Yes.
It's exactly right. Exactly right. And so, before we get to our talking about some prosperity and talking about success habits and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff
mm-hmm.
and our wisdom corner, I kind of want to talk about this thing that I'm going through, this idea that I've had for a long time. You know, I know that I always talk about hearing good stuff, you know, fill your mind with good stuff, hear good stuff, watch good stuff, what comes in goes out, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But lately I've been going dark. I've been going, like, black and
yes.
blue and, yeah.
Yes. I can attest to that, really.
Well,
this is Julie's dark period.
I remember we were interviewing a woman who had a near, I almost want to say life experience. That's not true. A near-death experience. And I remember introducing her, and I said, you know, she's had a near-death experience so that we don't have to.
That's right.
You know, she's written a whole book about our near-death experience, so we can just say, okay, thank you for letting us know all about this. Now, we don't have to have one
mm-hmm.
to have the spiritual
didn't
awakening.
Didn't she get hit by a bus or something like that? Or
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't remember.
I'm just, I mean, I know it's just like I'm kind of blending in, but I think she did.
It, I think it was very severe what happened.
Yes, yes.
She's a lovely woman, and she was fine. She, everybody,
oh, yeah.
She was fine.
Yeah.
But she had this near-death experience, and it was pretty profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, thank you for sharing that with us, because now I don't have to... You'll have to go through that to experience the transformation
right.
that came on the other end.
And so what you're saying is that Julie's dark period, her
yeah.
black and blue period,
mm-hmm.
is all about so that we don't have to go through
so
it?
So I don't have to go through it.
Oh, so you don't have to go through it.
So I don't have to have my crazy, rebellious midlife, whatever
right.
stage of going nuts in the world,
right? Where you decide not to shave
or whatever, or like mm-hmm. you know, like people I know who've gone to Burning Man and gone into the orgy tent, and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, I'm not going. I'm not going.
Because somebody already else went and you found
yes.
out about it. Yes.
I already found out about it. And I'm
right.
like, I'm done. Thank you for sharing. Now
yes.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Julie, can I ask you a quick question,
mm-hmm.
though?
Mm-hmm.
Is there really an orgy tent at Burning Man?
There's probably a tent for everything at Burning Man. And the answer is yes, there is an orgy tent.
Okay, sign me up for next year.
Yeah, I don't think so. First, you got to travel through mountains to get there, so that's not going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, then my ears will hurt.
I
can't
know.
Do that.
It's not going to happen.
I'm too boring.
So one of my other gigs that I have, besides working with my mom and having an online business, is that my dad has a trucking company, and ever since we were able to drive and turn 21, my brother and I got our CDL license. And
you're being generous, because you're kind of driving at 16.
Yes, I was 14. And you
okay,
be 18.
12.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I see what you're saying, driving at 16 or
right.
18, yeah. I thought you meant wheels. And so, but right now what I do is I go to Michigan twice or once a week. And it's a long haul, and I drive a semi, and during this time...
You drive an 18-wheeler.
Exactly, and during this time, I get to listen to anything from Tony Robbins to Jack Canfield to podcasts that are you know, on the dark side, NPR.
And it's NPR, that hideous dark side.
Well, it started off with just NPR. It started off with This American Life. And then you go, oh, I like how he tells his story. And Dan Savage, and it's like, oh, Dan Savage has a podcast. And I go to his podcast, and it's, you know, it's Savage Love. I'm like, well, what's that about?
Are you saying Dan Savage?
Dan Savage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's so, or then I go to, you know, so I start off with NPR, and that leads me down this rabbit hole
mm-hmm.
into, like, Risk and Moth and other things. And I listen to Tim Ferriss' podcast. I listen to Adam Carolla and Brendan Burchard. I mean, Brendan Burchard's podcast is, like, 8 minutes long, 9 minutes long.
Whoa.
Yes, it's just a tip for success,
mm-hmm.
and boom, done, next.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that I listen to, I'll give you an example. So Dan Savage, who I know through This American Life on NPR,
mm-hmm.
and I was listening to him. I'm like, oh, I'll check out this podcast. And so I'm like, holy cow, this is pretty graphic, and he gives advice, love advice, and sex advice.
Hmm.
I'm like, well, I don't know what's his qualifications, but hey, it's kind of interesting to hear his perspective. And
so he kind of put the vice in advice, right?
Exactly. for sure. And so I'm listening to him, and he does it quite interesting because he has a recording of questions, like an answer machine. People just call up and leave their questions. And
yeah, because really, that's what I find when I listen to a podcast. It's like if it's not live.
Right.
And so how do they, I mean, I imagine they have to get the word out to their list or to their audience to know that, you know, to call in, and then it'll be on 24 hours later or whatever.
Right, exactly. Well, and for him, I mean, that's, well, and I know for us, you can always call us on Sunday nights, you know, which
that's
is
right.
great. It's perfect.
Yes.
And we may think about doing that. But for podcasts, yes, it's really difficult to have these kind of questions that are just impromptu.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think about your answers. So it may take a little of the, I can't think of, you know, the freeness of it all. But
mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun. And what he had, man had called up, and I'll propose this question to you because he reminded me of you. Dan Savage reminded me of you.
Oh, okay.
Response.
Okay.
Because a man called up, and he was in a married relationship with his wife, and he said, you know, we're kind of celibate. I'm kind of celibate right now. Basically, we only have sex to conceive a child, and we've got two right now, and the whole other time, my wife's not interested because she can't be on antidepressants that make her libido stay, because it's not good for the baby and breastfeeding and all that stuff. And I'm looking at my life right now thinking we're going to probably have one or two more kids, and am I going to be cool with being, for the most part, celibate for the next 2 to 3 years? And
so how is this like me now at this point?
I will tell you.
How does this remind you of me?
I will tell you. So Dan Savage said, okay, well, this just seems ridiculous. You have two kids already. You know, I want you to talk to your wife, and I want you to say it like this. And this is what reminds me of you. He goes, would you propose it as, you know, it's for the children. You know, it's all about the children. We need to have a healthy married life, and it's all about the children. So maybe we should stop now and have your regular quote antidepressants on, you know, on and all that stuff, because it's all about the children, and we want our children to have a very strong, healthy relationship, you know, married. You know, I'm like, that sounds like my mother.
That's exactly,
because you are so tired of seeing around the world, you know, around everywhere, where it feels like it's all about the children. Now, I don't know if you're getting
crusty.
I don't know.
So I'm kind of like, and Dan Savage was being facetious, obviously, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah, because that's exactly.
Oh yeah, he said it very like, it's all about the children. Exactly how you say it. He has a child. But there's, you know, I'm sure he's like,
right.
Oh, you know.
Well, I mean, that's 100% right. I mean, I've been feeling, like, just the other day we were, I don't know, riding somewhere, but we live in the country, and, you know, there was this guy out mowing his lawn, his riding lawnmower. He had a big hat on, and he's holding a little kid. The kid's got a hat on and sunglasses. And the kid just, to me, it was the height of contentedness,
right.
You know. Here he is with his dad, not doing anything special, just riding along. You know, there's no helmets,
no
knee pads or arm pads, I don't know, elbow pads. And, you know, and it was just like, yeah, it's just like hanging with your family, you know. But it seems like nowadays it's like, it's all about the children. You know, we've got to have this all structured and this and that. And
I don't want to get a better job for my family because I have to take my kids out of a school district that they like.
Right.
And it's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
It's just school.
Right.
They'll get over it. They'll go to a different school. They'll learn something new, you know?
I know. And it just somehow, I don't know when it happened that it got so skewed. I know, like for example, I was, you know, watching HGTV, and they had, I don't wish I can remember the name of the show. It's some kind of renovations, but the mom is a designer. They're from Texas, and the dad's a builder, and he does, you know, construction. And they got a gaggle full of kids, like three or four kids. They live on a farm, and each kid is just darling. They like a little rascal, you know. They feed the chickens. They go, you know, put the goats in the pen, and when the family goes, it does a, you know, kind of a home renovation. The kids are there, and you know, it's just like, I don't know. It's like, it reminds me of like when you guys were little, you know.
Yeah.
You guys were just part of the family. You were part of the, you know, environment. You were part of the palette of our life. You know, like you said, you know, Norm was in trucking. You know, just had, you know, the one truck during that time,
right.
and we'd all four go. And we didn't even have a sleeper. We just have a day cab, and you know, we all pile in and. But learn how to get along with each other, you know, and have actual, you know, memories that could develop from being in, you know, kind of quantity time with each other.
Well, that show that you're talking about is called Fixer Upper.
Oh, that's right.
Like Chip, I'm looking at Chip and Joanna.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to give props to them for their, because they, I love the way their family.
And I'm not, I don't want to tell people that I'm judging how they're raising their kids.
No.
But
no.
It does
it's
feel,
just a POV.
It is. It, one of you. Yes. Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's my shorthand girlfriend.
I know. And, but it does feel that that there are people out there that are so into their kids.
Right.
And it's all about the kids, structure time. And I want to say this, not all kids are prodigies, first of all.
No.
But, yeah, just saying that. But also, I think, you know, it gives people the illusion that they can, or the false right, that they can criticize other parents for not being, quote unquote, you know, better parents. Like, you should be more into your kids.
Right.
I was.
I think you're right. It's like almost like. A parent can't do enough now. I mean,
well, and there were things that you guys did for us, never thought anything about it, but might have been questionable.
Right.
When we were all on the trucks together, you know, and Dad was driving across country, and you were there, and me and my brother, and in a day cab, and I'm in a sleeper, and we just would hang. And, you know, we were under five or whatever, and we didn't have seatbelts because nobody had seatbelts back then.
No helmets.
No helmets.
You didn't have your inside helmet and your outside helmet.
Exactly. And and so we just spent hours together.
Yes.
And what we had to do was, in some ways, we had to figure out ways to get rid of conflict quickly.
Yes.
There wasn't any of this huge conflict. People ran away or left and, you know, closed the door, slammed the door, whatever, because, no, you had to get over it and had to deal with it and move on. And we had a lot of good teachable moments, if you want to call that my teacher talk.
I agree with that.
And, you know, and it felt right.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It felt good and it felt right.
And it felt, and when I think about this, what was the name of the show again? Fixer Upper. Yeah. I mean, it just feels organic.
Right.
It just feels... There's just a sweetness that I don't see sometimes, anymore, where it's just like, you know, rushing, perfection, I can't do enough, you know, it's just, and, you know, what's wrong with, you know, a kid being bored?
Exactly, and having to figure out how to entertain themselves.
Right.
There's
I know you always said that, you know, Greg would be, he's like, you know, 4 years old and reading Stephen King.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he didn't probably, hopefully he didn't understand a lot of the subject matter. But
might have scared him, you know.
Reading.
I mean, he used to go like, red rum, red rum, red rum.
Red rum.
I'm like, Greg, you're freaking me out. What are you saying? I don't know, Julie. Red rum, red rum. You know, but I do find it kind of odd right now. Is that we're in this culture for kids where they're overly protected, mm-hmm. helmets and knee pads and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and then we allow them to do, like, you know, parkour, you know,
right.
or parkour, whatever it's called.
It sounds like hardcore.
Parkour,
maybe.
Or, you know, skateboard extreme, mm-hmm. or motocross that they, like, they do flips around them, but they're wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if because they're not able to, kids aren't able to explore normally,
mm-hmm.
or just be themselves or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're amped up. I don't know.
I know.
I mean, this seems, I've seen this stuff. That seems crazy.
Right.
Doesn't seem sane.
But isn't it true, though? I mean, I love the way I say that, though. Like, I go, it's all about the children.
It's all about the children.
It's not about the parents and having a face. It's all about the children.
No, and I want to say, kids know that then, and they'll divide and conquer.
Yes.
My parents knew that they could never let anybody know that they could be divided and conquered.
Right.
So my brother never even tried. Never tried. There was no conversation ever where I complained to you about Dad or I complained to Dad about you.
No.
That never happened.
No. Yeah.
You would have knocked that down. You would have, like, knocked that out of me real fast.
But you
not physically.
But you did. Yeah.
Good. Knocked that right into me.
Oh, yeah. A little spanking here and there.
No.
That's one thing that you know, because my parents beat us so damn much that I never wanted to lay a hand on you kids. Never.
No.
And I think probably Greg one time in his life, mm-hmm. and that was because he let a stranger in the house. You know, kind of like, Greg, please don't do that.
Yeah, how do I convey to you that we are nice people, but do not let a stranger in the house?
Yeah. that could be.
That's danger. That's stranger danger.
And then one time for you, I think Dad spanked you. We were in a hotel room, and we'd gotten a hotel room for the when we were, you know, in the truck.
Right.
And you guys had been really probably cramped up for like 24 hours, and I think Dad was across the street or something getting a pizza, and I said, guys, just, you know, go for it. Jump on the beds. Get all your energy out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, somebody down under us.
Complained. And you only have one person in that room? No.
Yes. I need to come in there. I remember her saying that.
Like, no, we're naked.
That's what we said.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We're naked. Leave us alone. No, that's not going to happen. See, you should have gotten the spanking, not me. That was your issue. Well, you know that story about that couple that was on a ship or on a boat. They were cruising around the world, and they had two young kids, and they ended up having to go. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but they had difficulty. Their young child started getting sick, and their boat started taking on water, and they ended up having to call an SOS, and the Coast Guard came and rescued them, and it was a big ordeal. But I thought the most interesting thing about it all was all the negative comments parents were saying to them on their Facebook page, like,
mm-hmm.
how dare you do this? How dare you do this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, that's kind of what we did, except we weren't in the ocean. We were at land.
That's right.
You just kind of took off with us in a truck, and, you know.
Well, I'm always surprised, though. I mean, I know I shouldn't be, but I really am surprised by, I guess they call them the haters, you know, that, no matter what, there's always like this whole list of things of, and, you know, that people are just, you know, I'm like, I don't even have, why would I want to spend one moment,
right,
you know, hating?
Exactly.
I really don't. I mean, that's...
Well, and usually people who don't hate and feel good about it, things, they're not leaving good comments. They're, you know, but people who are angry about something,
mm-hmm.
they'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't really care. But, you know, it's funny. It kind of takes us to I want to get into our prosperity corner. But I do want to talk, too, real quick about our wisdom corner about rest, relax,
yes.
release.
Right.
Receive.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yay.
Thank you.
Receive.
Because this is what we've, you know, really, I've been working on this for a whole year now. This mm-hmm. idea of, you know, because we really, I study prosperity. I study how to feel good, mm-hmm. how to enjoy life here and on the other side, right?
Right.
But and all the gifts that come, you know, that you can receive. And this idea of that we're working with the idea of resting,
yeah,
relaxing, releasing, and doing all of that in order to receive. And some of the good things that you receive are like, you know, we're talking about these, like, again, we were just talking about parents who, like, don't have a moment
right.
to themselves because
everything
has to be,
yeah.
You know, they have to be really almost perfect. But how can you find that rest in your day and really...
Even rest with your kids.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're sleeping or taking a nap.
No.
It really just means putting down the stress, the worry, mm-hmm. the care, the over hyper vigilance,
mm-hmm. overachieving. Yes.
You know, one thing that we like to do with our clients is we have a process called the DRIP process.
Yes.
Deeply relaxed intentional process.
We call it the DRIP.
Yay. And it's a form of meditation. But really, we know that when we meditate, it does give us relief from resistance.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to hold on, clench fists, and mm-hmm. all that stuff when you're allowing yourself the joy of 15, 20 minutes, or sometimes mm-hmm. as short as 5 minutes, of just getting in tune with your higher self, or you're visualizing, mm-hmm. and you're allowing yourself to rest, to relax, and then to release.
Right.
The worry, excuse me, the worry, the care.
Yes. It's really, it really is the, you know, in a good way, it's a timeout.
It is.
It's a good
And we all need
out.
It. We all need a timeout chair.
We all need it. Because we get, I don't know about you, but I can kind of get like a snowball effect if I'm like, you know, I'm on and I'm working it and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then, well, wait a minute, and I sort of have lost my balance. I've lost my... you know, my way a bit, you know,
right.
and I get to that. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, we're coaches. We want you to succeed and all this
yes.
good stuff. But I was, oh, my God, I'm another TV show. I can't even remember what it was now. But there were two women talking about, don't you just wish, because we're so busy and it's so exciting, don't you just wish that we had a bag so we didn't have to pee or poo?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not making this up.
I know.
People.
No, you're not. It yeah. is another how, yeah.
Now you could ask Thurman Norman, and he loved that type of thing.
But yeah, I mean, really, we have to be that busy
yeah.
that you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you don't want to. I mean, why can't we just take care of ourselves? And yeah, it's like, okay, I'm so impressed with you. Your life is so busy
yeah.
that you don't even want to do that.
Yeah. Are you making
What are you
so
busy
much
with?
Money.
What
yeah.
do you care? What,
right.
what are you doing that's so darn important mm-hmm. to the rest of the world
right.
that can't take place?
Yeah. And everybody knows, like, you know, if you're of service, mm-hmm. like they always talk about the, you know, the plane, if you're going down, and if you have children, you're supposed to take the oxygen mask first.
That's right.
You know, before you can help anybody else, you got to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
And so we are, this is our major, and we're delving in deep this year. This is our major focus about receiving all the
yeah,
gifts.
All the gifts.
There's all the blessings out there that are wonderful, but to really do it, we need to find how to rest, how to sincerely
right.
rest.
Well, we also know that when we relax, we are open to transformation.
We sure are.
And we're open to transfer. Well, open to change.
Yes.
And open to change, we're open to transformation.
Right.
So really, relaxing is a key, a gateway to transformation.
It really is.
And so, to the course of your day, and, you know, see how you're doing whether you're doing your work or working out or playing. How are you doing those things?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing those things with a heavy heart, with lots of worry?
And with clenched fists and
yeah.
jaws?
Yeah. Or are you doing them with rest, relax?
Right.
I mean, with just the attitude of peace. And that's what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were talking about how you had watched the new Star Trek movie, and in it, it talked about we're not warriors. We are explorers and observers.
Right.
I love that. But when I wrote down that line that you told me about, I said, I wrote down the word, we're not worriers.
Yes.
We're explorers and
yes.
observers. And that's helped me through the course this week because I have a tendency to worry about
mm-hmm.
everything. The problem at hand and the solution at hand. And can it, you know, and then you just go, wait a minute, where do I want to put my focus at?
Mm-hmm.
Really joy, love.
How can I be an observer?
Yes.
How can I be just an experiencer, right?
Exactly.
Of this and put down the warrior, put down the worrier.
Put them both
down. And simply just be.
Exactly.
And find that quality of beingness, that human beingness. And, you know, and once you get in that, you can kind of rest into it and feel it. Then relax into it.
Exactly.
And once you get there, think of all the things that you'd love to release that no longer really serve this new transformed person that you would like to become.
Exactly. And it kind of goes along with our prosperity corner because we want you to feel better. We want you to relax, to release, because we want you to open, have a place open for more joy.
Yes.
Because you really do manifest from your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can manifest in negative ways, more emotions that feel bad,
mm-hmm.
or manifesting better ways. And
right.
we had a conversation just 3 or 4 days ago where we took a neutral conversation, a very neutral conversation, and within 3 jibs-jabs back, we both felt bad.
Right.
And it wasn't intentional. And neither one of us were being snide.
Mm-mm.
It was just a gradual thing where
we started with a neutral topic. Both
yes.
of us were just talking, and then somebody said something, and literally, I looked at you and I go, wow, my vibration is lowered.
Right.
And you went, how did this happen? And luckily, we catch this now.
Yes.
Luckily, we can catch this,
and we can get out of it.
Yes.
And I want to share one of the processes to get out of this. You know, Abraham Hicks. Esther Hicks, she had a wonderful process called a 67-second process.
67-second process.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have a hard time with my S's, where you just, for 67 seconds, talk about the good things in life. Talk about what you want to have happen. No negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or how great the day is, or gratitude. But for 67 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to repeat things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yes.
But it is true that once you get past that minute mark, you do
you
have...
shifted.
You shifted.
Yes.
And you're back into your grace or back into
yes.
the flow.
I have in my bedroom, Julie gave me a little little plaque, and it said, you know, what if you woke up today with only what you thanked God for yesterday?
Yes.
No, you just you start feeling that,
right?
You know, you start feeling. Wait a minute, rather than I'm too busy to pee. You start feeling that gratitude,
yes.
and you feel the space around that.
Yes.
You know, you start feeling about just being an observer,
mm-hmm.
and that process of rather than going down a ladder of vibration,
mm-hmm.
going up that ladder to where you feel better. And better, you know, and you don't need your mind telling you, well, that's not real.
Right.
You know, that's really just stupid. You know, you don't really feel like that. And you go, wait a minute, you calm yourself down, please.
Yes. And also, too, we don't really know what real is anymore. We know the truth is.
We know truth. And you know truth. You'll when you hear it, you know it, as opposed to what's real, what's situational.
Yeah, reality is becoming a blur now.
Right, exactly.
You know, I can be the same, I can have the same conversation, and I will feel one way about it, and somebody else will feel a different way.
Yeah.
But yet, what is the truth about
that's
it?
That's not, and that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the truth will have space around it. The truth will not make you feel worse.
Right. Well, girlfriend, do we have time to talk about our question of the week? Or our success habit real quick?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, then I want to share with everybody. I want to propose to everybody this idea of a question of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jack Canfield in his book, The Success Habits, talks about Dan Sullivan. Oh, twice removed. There we go. And he goes, here's a question for you. If we were meeting 3 years from today, what has to have happened during that three-year period for you to feel happy about your progress? About your progress. And then Christine goes, why do 3 years? We're going to meet next Sunday. You know, if when we meet next Sunday, what will have had to have happened for you to feel happy,
mm-hmm.
joyful,
yes,
sweet,
rested
about your progress?
Yes, exactly.
And one of the things that Christine and I do, we call it our five-stepper.
We sure do.
Our five success habits. And they can be very small. This is the way that we judge our progress in the course of the week.
And what we do is, rather than living in what we can tend to be like, we call, oh, gee, I didn't meet the mark today.
Yes. Failure.
I mean, I really do small stuff like, oh, I'll have a green drink because I want to work on my pH balance.
Right.
You know? I go, I'm going to have me two green drinks. Check that off. That's a success habit. You know?
Exactly. And it can be as small as you're working on, you know, cleaning out your garage. And you're like, I can't do it in a week. Well, maybe you'll do it in a month. And but to, every day you may take five things to
mm-hmm.
donate.
Right.
Or five things to throw away.
And I may say to you, if you're doing that and donating, consider it seed money.
Yes.
You know, just put it out there that I'm seeding for
yes.
my future by
exactly.
doing this. You know, having that forethought. There's just like lots of little things that just sort of ennoble your life, make it filled with sort of a lot of ease and joy and grace.
So I want you to really ponder the question, you know,
until we meet
next week, you know,
you got two feet and a heartbeat, girlfriend.
Yes. And you ask, and you do those five things every day, those five power things, and let's see what your life's going to be like next week. And so we say goodbye for now. You can mm-hmm. find us on bbsradio.com/lifewithagirlfriend
yes.
or theclutterflyeffect.com, thepracticalintuitive.com.
Yes, and talk to us
at
christinemarieandjulie.com. We want to hear from you. But no haters, please.
No haters, please. No time for that.
Don't break our vibration now.
Exactly. So have a great day, everyone, and we will see you next week.
And I want to thank our engineer. He did a great job.